everyone. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton, and folks, this week, well, we're starting things off with a very special news you may have missed. Well, maybe not news per se, maybe more like information you may have missed. You see, my loyal listening audience, your podcast and hostess with the mostest, is gonna have a little bambino here in a couple months, so the subject of this week's fish fry is especially close to my heart. Please let me introduce you to Julian Penders. Julian is a co-founder at Bloom Technologies and recently co-wrote an article called Wearable Sensors for Healthier Pregnancies. Julian joins Fish Fry this week to discuss what the central challenges are when creating wearable sensors to measure lifestyle behaviors, how wearable sensors motivate healthier pregnancies, and where wearable sensor technology is headed in the future. Hi, Julian. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, how's it going?
So, Julian, let's talk about wearable sensors for healthier pregnancies. Now, you co-wrote this article earlier this year. So how can wearable sensors motivate healthier pregnancies and decrease the number of pregnancy complications experienced by women today?
It's a great question. I think that's a lot of the reason why we wrote this paper, is to raise awareness around that very question. I think the first piece of answer to this question is that we need to realize that lifestyle behaviors, especially during pregnancy, have a big impact on pregnancy complications and pregnancy outcomes. And just to take a couple of examples, for example, it's been known, it's been shown in literature that women who have very active jobs will have a higher risk of preterm delivery. And similarly, women who have a very stressful lifestyle also have an increased risk of preterm birth. Women with a stressful lifestyle also have a high risk of gestational hypertension that eventually can lead to preeclampsia. So there is evidence in the clinical literature of a relation between lifestyle behaviors and pregnancy complications. And I think that's realizing this link that really motivates the use for wearable sensors to motivate healthy pregnancies. The idea is that using wearable sensors, the first thing we can do is to track in an accurate way different lifestyle behaviors. And I think tracking and measuring these lifestyle behaviors is the first step in increasing the awareness around women's behavior and using this awareness to act on it and reduce pregnancy complications. So, for example, with wearable sensors, what we can do is measure the activity of the mom and measure the stress of the mom. By doing this, we'll provide her information with how her day has been, what were the stressful events for her day. This is the awareness component. Based on these awareness components, we can help her and we can give her tricks to act on her behavior for the upcoming days. For example, if she realized that a certain activity would increase stress for her, what she can do in the coming days, in the future days, and future weeks, is to try to avoid this type of activity that is known to increase stress for her. I think that's one of the things that she can do. Based on the information measured by the wearable, she can take action and adapt her lifestyle, adapt her behavior to reduce some of the stressful events, for example, in this case. Another thing we can do with wearable sensors is that, again, if we measure that, if we monitor that she has an increased stress and increased activity, which is beyond the safe limits, let's say, during pregnancy, another thing we can do is give her feedback, and based on the wearable sensors, we can build some interventions, digital health interventions. Another example that we can do, like around stress, is, for example, if someone is especially stressed during her pregnancy, that could be because of her work, that could be because of her general lifestyle or situation at home, what we could do is that we could build mindfulness exercises in an app, for example. And using wearable sensors, we can monitor how efficient and effective this mindfulness exercise will be in reducing her stress. And that's another component of the added value of wearable sensors. It's not only measuring her behavior, but it's also guiding an intervention such as a mindfulness exercise, guiding that intervention for the mom to make sure it is efficient. And eventually the third part of it is that is monitoring that indeed the intervention that she would do, such as a mindfulness exercise, for example, has the expected impact in reducing her stress. So really, wearable sensors can be used at those three levels to motivate the healthy pregnancy and reduce the pregnancy complications. Number one is tracking. Number two is guiding intervention. And number three is monitoring the intervention is efficient in improving health during pregnancy.
So, Julian, what do you think are the central challenges when creating wearable sensors to measure these lifestyle behaviors?
There are, I would say, general challenges to measure lifestyle behaviors in any population. And there are also specific challenges associated with the fact that we're dealing with pregnancy, which is a specific status, let's say, a specific physiological state. So I would start with a generic challenge associated to measuring lifestyle behaviors with wearables. I think the first one, which is important, is that we have to deal with data being recorded in everyday life. We're not in controlled environment. We are not in a lab environment. We are in everyday life situation. And inevitably, everyday life situation are associated to noise. People will not watch their sensors. They will undergo their normal lives. They don't want constraints with their sensors. So we have to deal with data of variable quality. So the first challenge is really to handle that variability in the quality of the data. And one way that we can do that is through contextualization. It's understanding how we can use wearable sensors, depending on the context, to infer and to analyze behaviors. So I would say that's the first challenge. Context dependency and contextualization of the wearable sensor readings in order to monitor lifestyle behaviors. The second challenge, which is also valid for the generic population, is the aspect of personalization. Everybody is different. My heart rate changes are different from your heart rate changes. The way my heart rate variability relates to my stress is going to be different to the way the heart rate variability of someone else relates to the stress. Everybody is different. There is an individual component. And when we use wearable sensors to measure lifestyle behaviors, it is very important to take into account that aspect of personalization. And so this can be done using algorithms that learn the baseline of each individual and look at deviations from that baseline. That's really how practically we can tackle personalization. So I would say that's the second challenge. And of course, we need to be able to get reliable data. And that's really a technical challenge that we have, that the data that we measure has to be reliable. That is very much a sensor design issue that needs to be tackled before we can actually use wearable sensors in daily living. That's an inherent challenge of using wearable sensor. There are additional challenges when we move to pregnancy, and these are reasons why conventional and traditional wearables initially developed for the generic population cannot be applied directly to pregnancy. And these are associated to the specific physiological changes that happen during pregnancy. Pregnancy is a part of the life where there is a new organism growing into the body of the mom, and of course the physiology needs to adapt to this additional demand. It adapts in multiple ways. It adapts by adapting the heart rate of the mom, changing the way the autonomic nervous system responds to environment stimuli. It also changes the way the metabolism of the mom adapts to external stimuli. So there are multiple changes in the physiology, in the metabolism of the mom that need to be taken into account when we mapping wearable sensor output to lifestyle behaviors. And I think that's an additional challenge. And one of the challenges that is discussed in the paper is really how can we do that? How can we use wearable sensor? How can we develop analytics tool that will help us to map this sensor data into lifestyle behaviors during pregnancy?
So, Julian, can you give me some examples of some wearable technology products that are on the market today, specifically for pregnant women?
There aren't many options available today. I think what we see is definitely a trend to market wearable solutions to the field of women's health. And I think we see that mainly through the design of wearables, which are more attractive to women. We see that through the convergence of fashion in the field of wearable sensors. So I think that's things we see. And I mean, there is, for example, I think Misfit is doing a great job in designing very pretty wearables in the form of necklaces or in the form of different jewelry accessories that can be used for women. And that will also appeal to women. So I think that's a good example of a wearable company who is paying a lot of attention to develop solutions that could be attractive to moms and to women in general. That being said, I don't think there is really a whole lot of wearables today that are specifically designed for women's health or specifically designed around the experience of conceiving a baby and then pregnancy experience and the parenting experience. So I think this is really something which is lacking in the wearable space. And this is one of the challenges that we're taking up as a technology. This is one of the challenges that also is discussed in the paper.
So, Julian, as a follow-up question, where do you see the future of wearable devices, specifically in this realm, headed in the future?
That's a very interesting question. I think there has been quite some market study lately that reports that a lot of the digital health apps are actually downloaded by women. So we see that there is clearly a need for digital health technology that we see from women. So I think that's clearly a trend we see. On the other hand, we see that there are specific challenges that the technology needs to address in order to deliver value for women, especially around the experience of conceiving a baby and pregnancy. So I think what we'll see is really the emergence of specific wearables developed for women's health, for the different phases that are important in a woman's health. And again, starting from conception to pregnancy and also parenting and beyond. So I think we'll see this convergence of technologies applied to this space for which there is a clear demand and clearly which is a market which is underserved today.
Well, Julian, I think that's all I have time for. Thank you so much for joining me today. This was super cool.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was my pleasure to talk to you. It's a great space and I hope you can do a lot there.
If you would like to read the article that Julian co-wrote called Wearable Sensors for Healthier Pregnancies, or check out more information about Bloom Technologies, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. And now it's time for something completely different. Because it's an engineering podcast after all, let's talk about complex IC designs. Now, in the old days, Place and Route could handle our IC designs no problemo. But as our designs are getting bigger and bigger and bigger on smaller and smaller nodes, Place and Route ain't so easy after all. And we need, I mean, really need our tools to keep up with our ramp up. Our most recent episode of Chalk Talk attacks this very issue. In Meet PPA and Turnaround Time Requirements at Advanced Nodes with Innovus Implementation System, I sit down with Yufeng Lau of Cadence Design Systems and chat about the incredible innovations in Cadence's new Innovus Implementation System that will keep up with your next Million Gate design. You can check out this episode by heading on over to YouTube, keyword EE Journal, by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com, or by heading on over to the On Demand section of eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/eejournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at eejournaltfm. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very own popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can also subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 3rd, 2015, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.